Vanderbilt University Medical Center is proud to present Vanderbilt Health Radio, your guide to the latest in healthcare research and treatments. Here's your host, Debbie Allen.
And welcome back to Vanderbilt Health Radio. You're listening on NashvilleNetRadio.com, where Music City talks online. We are powered by WS Radio, the worldwide leader in internet talk. Talking now about boomers becoming bionic people. Hundreds of thousands of joint replacements are done in the country every year. What are the most popular ones? The three most popular, top the charts, are shoulders, hips, and knees. And maybe you are thinking it is about time for you to get some help. Maybe you're a weekend warrior. Well, we're going to talk with Dr. Ginger Holt, who happens to be an assistant professor of orthopedics and rehabilitation at Vanderbilt, and the residency program director and musculoskeletal oncology fellowship director. Wow, that's a hard word to say. Why is that hard to say? Musculoskeletal.
A lot of letters.
Hi, Dr. Ginger Holt. Glad to have you on the radio today.
Glad to be here.
All right, we're talking about the three most popular. Which of those three is the most popular?
Knee replacements are the most popular, hips second, and shoulders third.
And are more and more people getting it done at a younger age these
days? Yeah, so that's what we see. The trends that we see are patients who are in their 70s used to populate this group significantly, and nowadays people in their 50s, 40s are looking at joint replacement.
And if you have it at such a young age, then does that mean you'll automatically have to have it again?
Yeah, so that's one of the big questions that we see. People want to know, how long is this going to last? If I'm 50 and I hope I live till I'm 100 years old, is this thing going to last 50 years? And fortunately, implants that we put in 10 years ago, we are seeing no evidence of wear and no evidence that these implants are loosening or needing replacement. So what we know is the implants we put in today, a hip replacement that I did today, is better than an implant that was put in 10 years ago.
Is that because of your technique that you know, or the material also is better?
It's technique, it's materials. Unfortunately, the war that we are waging overseas leads to a lot of fast developments of technology, metals, and implants. And so we are seeing a surge of better technologies, better implants. So we believe our techniques are better. But in addition to that, the parts we put in, the metals, the plastics, are lasting so much longer because of research, development, and technology.
I see. Okay, how do you know if you're a candidate, a good candidate for joint replacement surgery?
Yeah, the common patient has either hip or knee replacement that is very bothersome to them. They visit their primary care doctor, who may have taken some x-rays, and they have a diagnosis of arthritis of some sort, osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. And the question then becomes, how limited is your function? This is an elective surgery, which means it's not an emergency surgery. It's not a surgery that someone has to have, but someone who stops themselves from doing activities they want to do. Boy, I sure would like to go out for a walk. Mm-hmm. My knee's going to hurt if I do that. I would rather take an elevator than take a stairs, because if I go up those stairs, my knee's going to hurt doing it and for an hour later. And so people who have activities of all aspects of their life are people who need to consider joint replacement surgery. And it's a decision that you need counseling on to help you make those decisions.
Are there certain things like, are activities restricted after a joint replacement surgery?
The main thing we ask people not to do, especially after a knee replacement surgery, is running. So, of course, if we want this implant that we put in to last longer, we don't want to wear it out. If you have tires on your car and you skid and try to screech out of a parking lot, of course, the tread on your tire is going to wear out sooner. And it's the same thing that happens with your joints. The better care we take of them, the longer they're going to last. So running is the main thing people can't do. Golfing, swimming, playing tennis, walking, working out on exercise equipment, all things that are completely accessible and things we want you to do after having your joint replaced.
Because if you just sit and become a couch potato, what happens?
What's the point? What's the point of fixing your joints and getting you better and getting your pain gone if you don't go out and use it?
Are there certain things that you shouldn't do if you know you're going to have an upcoming joint replacement surgery?
We are cautionary about bleeding and things that affect surgery. So the main things are not taking medicines or herbal supplements that would make you bleed. Now, you should visit a doctor and have this discussion if you're truly considering joint replacement surgery, that these are specific things within 2 weeks before surgery. Otherwise, there's nothing that precludes having a joint replacement surgery.
All right, what's the recovery like? Is it a tough surgery?
Yeah, hip replacements are phenomenal. Patients wake up after a hip replacement and their hip pain is completely gone.
Really?
The rehabilitation after the surgery is very easy. On the contrary, knee replacements are very, very tough. The ligaments and tissues around the knee tend to seize up after surgery. They're very stiff. And so we really, really rely heavily on our physical therapists after surgery to make the parts we put in after a knee replacement do all the things they're supposed to do. Now, most people have significant relief of pain after 6 weeks from the time of their surgery. And by 3 months, people are back to doing all activities that they want to do.
So do you recommend, since the knees are trickier and tougher and more painful, do you recommend doing both at once or doing one at a time?
Most patients who come back to see me after having both of their knees done are extremely happy that they've had them done at the same time. But patients who have significant medical problems, patients who are overweight, there are some categories where you cannot qualify for having both done at the same time. And again, that's a long discussion you need to have with your physician because it's individualized from patient to patient.
Okay, we're talking about joint replacement surgery. If you've just clicked on to Vanderbilt Health Radio, I'm Debbie Allen. We're having a conversation with Dr. Ginger Holt. She's an assistant professor of orthopedics and rehab at Vanderbilt and the residency program director and musculoskeletal oncology fellowship director there at Vanderbilt. To find out more information about anything that we're talking about on Vanderbilt Health Radio, just go to VanderbiltHealth.com. That's VanderbiltHealth.com. Okay, we talked about some about how long the implants last. If your grandma has it at like 80 years of age, what can you expect?
Our favorite patient as physicians, your favorite patient is a little grandma because they feel no pain. They truly are from the greatest generation, and they get up out of bed, they're ready for activity, and you can't keep them down. Younger patients who have thicker, healthier muscle tissue, whose muscles pull on the implants more, tend to have a little bit more pain and counterintuitively a little bit more discomfort. Throughout, whether it's older, younger, eventually, whether it's at 3 months, 6 months out from surgery, our goal is pain relief, and we're able to achieve that a majority of the time.
All right, tell me about some of your favorite stories.
Well, you were asking about musculoskeletal oncology, and it's such a difficult word. We have a unique population at Vanderbilt of cancer survivors, and I do a lot of joint replacements in patients who, because of their cancer treatment, have had to have treatment that affects their joints and causes their joints to collapse and be destroyed. And when a recent patient I had who came to see me who was in a wheelchair, who couldn't go to school, who was doing poorly in school, was evaluated, we felt would be a successful candidate for a hip replacement. And in doing that, 6 weeks after her surgery, she went back to school, walked for the first time, has gotten back into school, completely interactive, and
wow.
Her outcome has been fantastic, but her attitude has completely changed too. So it's very hard to see these people survive their cancer and go on to bigger and better things and then be set back by some of the treatments that we give them.
So it's gratifying for you to then rectify that.
It's extremely gratifying that the surgery is so dramatic. And a lot of our medical students these days choose orthopedic surgery because of the dramatic changes that we see. A patient who comes in a wheelchair, a patient who can't walk, a patient who's on high-dose pain medicine, who can't function mentally, will come in, have surgery, and when they come back for their first and second post-operative visits, they bring cookies and candies and gifts because we've given them their life back. And that's my favorite thing to hear from a patient is, thank you for giving me my life back because I had no life. I couldn't function. I had so much pain. I was afraid to get out of bed. I was afraid to leave my house. And now I'm back to church. I'm back to life. I'm back to taking care of myself. So thank you.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you remember your very first surgery? You've been out of medical school now over 15 years. Do you remember your very first surgery?
I do. And, you know, with HIPAA rules, we can't give any names. But I had a patient who actually required a very large type of knee replacement that we do. You again mentioned musculoskeletal oncology, a patient who had so much bone loss because she had waited a long time for her joint replacement that I had to put in a very special prosthesis we call megaprosthesis. And she actually visited with me about 2 weeks ago for one of her long long-term follow-ups. And, of course, she came walking in smiling and brought me a little pan of ribs, which I appreciate.
Nice.
But she again, was a patient who came in incapacitated, couldn't walk, and no one else would take care of her because she had such significant bone loss and required such a large surgery. And so, and taking her to the operating room, fixing her leg, changing her life. She was actually a patient my partner sort of saved for me, knowing that I was coming back and had called me and will you take care of her? And he sort of got everything set up, and I met her in the holding room, and she said, okay, I've heard a lot about you. Let's get this done. And to see someone like that come back at 6 years and 7 years and see how great they're doing for me is extremely satisfying.
That's awesome. All right. Will you have a better prognosis if you know that a joint replacement surgery is in your future? Will you have a better prognosis if you lose weight ahead of time?
Absolutely. So things that make a joint replacement go better is for the physician side, the more joint replacements a physician does, the better. So for patients, the questions you want to ask, how many joint replacement surgeries do you do a week, a month, a year? On the patient side, of course, the healthier the patient, the better shape, the better for surgery. So if, weight loss becomes an issue for us and hard to do when a patient's having knee pain, having shoulder pain, and you ask them to lose weight. But the surgery is shorter, it's faster, recovery's better, wound healing complications are better, and it's very well described in our literature that these patients have less complications, recover faster, and do better.
Any research on the horizon of new things that you can replace that we never would have thought of years ago?
Joint replacements for spine discs.
Awesome. Dr. Ginger Holt, thank you so much. Find out about Dr. Holt by going on to VanderbiltHealth.com. That's VanderbiltHealth.com. I'm Debbie Allen. Thanks for listening to another edition of Vanderbilt Health Radio.